It's about that time. First Take, ladies and gentlemen. I'm rocking the green to represent the masses in Georgia. Joe is rocking the burgundy to represent the Kentucky Derby. We got Monica and Christine rocking the white because they feeling godly. A great philosopher once said, if you could, you would, but you can't, so you ain't. First Take, let's roll.
Okay, Harry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to First Take. Happy Thursday. I like how Monica is everyone's hype woman. We got Monica McNutt. We got Joe Fortenbaugh. We got Harry Douglas. We do look really good today, guys. I love this for us. How are you feeling? Good, Monica?
Yeah, feeling good. Okay. Harry did beautiful. That on the cold open, y'all. Let's go.
Yeah, she's everyone's hype woman. Also, we have Kimberly Martin, Damian Woody, and Mina Kimes talking a little NFL later in the show. But let's get things started in the association. Last night, Nikola Jokic, he scored 41 points to go with 11 rebounds and 7 assists. He made 16 of 20 shots against the NBA's best defense. As the Nuggets took down the Timberwolves 116-120 with the win, the defending champion Nuggets are best in the West, 33-8 at home. And with two games remaining in their regular season, Denver now controls its destiny when it comes to home court advantage throughout the West playoffs. Minnesota and OKC are currently tied for second, but will need help to get the one seed. All right, let's talk a little bit about this. I'm going to start with you, Joe. Which team needs the one seed the most, do you think?
What do you have? 10 teams that are going to make the playoffs? Nine? Nine-way tie would be the answer. Everybody but Denver needs the home court advantage in this situation for the one seed. How are you going to beat Denver, right? We're talking about small margins for error when you're going against the best in the business. If it's a 40-minute game in March Madness, you can surprise a team. Somebody can have an off shooting night. Somebody can have a red hot shooting night. 7-game series, cream's going to rise to the top, Harry Douglas. You know that as well as anybody.
Yep.
I mean, that suit. I mean, let's just, you know, talk about cream rising to the top. Point is, this team at home is absolutely lethal this season. Number 2 in the NBA in wins at home behind only the Boston Celtics. Number 3 in offensive efficiency. Number 7 in defensive efficiency. They win at home by an average of 9 points per game. If you're going to take the best team in the NBA, Denver Nuggets, not Boston Celtics, and you're going to take them out, you're going to need to win it in the margins. And if you have to go to Denver to beat them, it's not happening. So it could be Minnesota to answer your question. It could be Oklahoma City to answer your question. It's everybody. They all need home court. You're not going into Denver and taking out the Nuggets.
So I'm going to go off the rails. I'm going to say the Denver Nuggets. For a lot of the points that you just made, Joe, when you look at this championship run that they had last year, they only lost one game at home, 10-1. You look at over the last 2 years in the regular season, 67-15. That's something to be said for in the regular season. Also, when you look at the altitude in Denver, that's an advantage for the Nuggets. That's something that opponents are going to have to deal with. And then lastly, when you talk about role players, when you don't have a Jeff Green, when you don't have a Bruce Brown, when say a series gets pushed to 7 games, you want that home court advantage. You want that altitude working at your advantage. Also, role players, we do know. We heard Kendrick Perkins say this time and time again. Role players play better at home. So when I'm looking at Christian Brown, when I'm looking at Peyton Watson, when I'm looking at Reggie Jackson, those guys will have an advantage if a series goes to game 7, being at home with that altitude for the Denver Nuggets.
Thing with the Nuggets, though, is you look at the playoff run last year, 6-3 on the road. They were able to handle their business just about anywhere. If you're a young team like Minnesota or Oklahoma City, a team that especially has had no track record in the playoffs yet to speak, wouldn't you figure that would be more impressive in terms of having to get it done at home? That's the thing that worries me. Denver's a team that strikes me as they can go into any building anywhere in the NBA and they can find a way to get it done. They can draw on that championship pedigree from last year. They can draw on the experiences last year. They went to Miami and took the Heat out twice. And that was one of the most impressive Heat runs that we've seen in the last few years. So ultimately, if they have that home court, it's just going to make things smoother. But for a team like OKC, a team like Minnesota, if you're going to Denver to try to beat them, I just don't see how it's going to happen.
All right, so Joe is right. Harry is true. Harry, you look great. You started the show off right. You decided to go off the rails and state the obvious. Yes, Denver is a nightmare at home, but they also are the most veteran-led team when you talk about the top 3 teams in the Western Conference. And so the margins do matter. The opportunity to bring the energy of your home crowd behind you as games are getting tighter, as series matter, it's definitely, in my mind, the Minnesota Timberwolves a little bit more than the Oklahoma City Thunder, because there is just a different energy and I think a youthfulness about the T-Wolves that OKC has sort of navigated. We've all talked about the Thunder arriving earlier than scheduled, being this really great team in the Western Conference. And so it's definitely the Timberwolves. You're both right in the statement of why each team is lethal at home. And the Nuggets are an absolute problem, but they're a problem no matter where they go. So it's definitely, in my mind, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, I have Minnesota second, and the reason why Minnesota is second more so over Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. I love what OKC has been able to do this season, but let's just say they get a matchup. If they end up getting the one seed and they got a matchup with the Los Angeles Lakers, that's not a good matchup, whether they have home court advantage or not. I'm taking the Lakers in that series. So I would lean Minnesota being second because I ain't coming off my Denver pick. But I would lean to Minnesota being second, Oklahoma City being third.
Problem for Oklahoma City right now is they look like a young team that may have had trouble pacing themselves for the 82-game season and then leaving enough left in the tank to go after it in the playoffs. You look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the numbers over the last 9-10 games, 31 points per game dropping off to about 23 points per game. The offensive efficiency metrics for OKC sitting around 131, which would be best in the NBA prior to this 9-10 game stretch. It's dropped off to a point where it would rank about 24th in the NBA, which is on par with the Toronto Raptors. Refresh me, Harry Douglas. Toronto Raptors impressive at all this season?
Joe, I think those are excellent numbers. And when we get into the MVP conversation, you mentioned the last 9-10 games for SGA. There's also, I think he hit the game winner at the Garden and he took a little bit of a chill pill, missed a few games for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And so that's going to impact the MVP conversation. But I do caution you a little bit on those numbers because I think that team is more mature than their years would indicate. And they are in good shape, right? And so, yes, it doesn't look great. And every press conference I've gone to down the stretch of the season traveling with the Knicks, coaches are talking about the very delicate balance between resting your stars this time of year and making sure that they are revved up and ready to go in rhythm as the clock is about to strike playoffs. So I'm not going to put too much on those Thunder numbers. I just think that there's a little bit of a song and dance as they are preparing for the playoffs, but they are worthy of noting.
Monica, you're after my heart. I mean, I'm sitting here holding a 25-1 ticket on Oklahoma City. I would love to see them make a deep run. That's what I'm a little bit iffy about. But thank you for the endorsement there. It makes me feel a little bit better.
Nuggets have a 78% chance to get the one seed, while the Thunder has 14. Timberwolves have 8%. All right, Monica, I'm going to start with you on this question. Do you think that Nikola Jokic should be a lock for MVP this season?
Oh, Christine, HD, Joe, I really wanted to make the case for SGA. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has had a tremendous year. They are ahead of schedule. That's a young team. He's leading the league in steals. He's putting up monster numbers. I really wanted to be able to make the case for him. But again, in a year where Nikola Jokic, Optimus Dime, continues to be the centerpiece of a dominant team, elevating the play of all of those around him, I understand that there's more experience there. They are the defending champs. And I might have been willing to make the argument a little bit more firmly down the stretch, if not for the games that SGA has missed. This pretty much is a lock for me. And I think that the voters so far have got it absolutely right. I mean, you look at all of the categories that he impacts this team and the scoring, the assist, the efficiency, and then you got to give him bonus points for the demeanor. That never changes, really.
Monica, I was hoping last night in that matchup, Denver versus the Timberwolves, that Ant-Man would have had a 45-piece or a 50-piece game, and we would have came in here, you know, altering some things, saying, well, not just yet, because the one seed could go to Minnesota. Or, you know, like you mentioned, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what he's been able to do and guiding the third youngest team in the NBA to a two seed right now currently, the chances are slight they're not going to get the one seed. But Nikola Jokic, when you drop 41 in a pivotal matchup last night, and time again in crunch time, when you're able to get it done and they play through Nikola Jokic and they trust that he's going to make the best pass, the best shot, or get the best shot, or do what's best, or throw that alley hoop to Aaron Gordon slashing down the baseline. When you have a guy like Nikola Jokic, who's your piece, I should say, can't bet against it. I wanted to come in here like you, Monica, and argue for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but Nikola Jokic last night, and even before last night, he was the favorite. But when you drop 41 in a pivotal game like he did last evening, I can't argue it.
Especially when the game was tight at the half and relatively tight going to the fourth. That's where the MVPs take over. This is a win-based award. Last 30 years, the 30 individuals to win MVP, 27 of them were a top three seed, 25 of them were a top two seed. We can talk about Luka and all the stats he puts up, but if you want to make the case for a guy like Luka Doncic, we got to change the name of the award from most valuable player to most outstanding player. Value is rooted in wins, and nobody's winning more in the Western Conference than the Denver Nuggets. Everyone here tried to make a case at some point this season for Jason Tatum, but the numbers don't back it up. You get into the nerd stats, something I enjoy very much, but we won't bore you with here today. We talk about value added, expected wins, player efficiency rating, Jokic, Jokic, Jokic. You talk about plus minus. What's the team doing when Jokic is on the court versus when he's off the court? It's Jokic. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has had a phenomenal year. Being in this conversation is an award in and of itself. We're mentioning him with the very best in the business. But only one guy can win this award. And everything you've seen in Denver, he should have won it last year. The voters owe it to correct that. I know everyone's going to say you're getting on Embiid. I'm an Embiid guy, but we saw what happened once we got to the playoffs there. Embiid completely.
It's a regular season award, though, Joe. You can't do that.
It is. I know. But let's go ahead and realize we're all humans here, and we're going to let our biases creep in. And last year, Embiid went completely MIA in the playoffs, and we saw Jokic's value throughout the course of that. I mean, you could not stop the guy.
Well, it's the crunch time, right? When the game's on the line, I remember when they just played Boston not too long ago and the Celtics made a little run. Okay, we're not going to go in panic mode. We're just going to get a ball to our MVP winner. We're going to give a ball to our MVP of the NBA Finals and let him do the work. And you trust that he's going to make the right play for your basketball team. When you have a guy like that, that equates to a Patrick Mahomes on the National Football League level in the side of things, you can't bet against it.
Rephrase it like this, Monica. If you were to put one guy on the bench for the entire run of the playoffs, which team's chances would go down the toilet fastest?
In terms of their individual team MVPs or most outstanding?
If you were to take SGA off the Thunder, if you were to take Jokic off the Nuggets, if you take Tatum off the Celtics, which team goes swirling down faster?
I don't know if this is going to be the answer you want, Joe, because I actually think if you take SGA off OKC, they got more problems than the Nuggets losing Jokic.
That's a great case for SGA then. Because we're talking about the stats are there, all the 30-plus point games. But the idea of removing him from that equation, now suddenly you've got an Oklahoma City candidate, and you've got a great argument there.
I will go with Jokic, though.
You go with Jokic?
Oh, yes.
You seem very Denver.
Oh, yeah.
You got something?
Well, my only hesitation on going, I mean, yeah, you're right. The numbers would say Jokic. I got you, Harry. But my only hesitation there is there's experience there as a collective, right? Now, we would see. Does Jokic add this super level cherry icing on top to his teammates because he makes those guys so much better? But we would see if that experience holds and the talent there. You know, Jamal Murray, we've been talking about him prior to injuries, and obviously he was an integral piece of what they did last year. So I just think there's more experience and talent there without their star, but I 100% agree. It looks like a completely different team.
Monica, Joe said something very interesting. He said that Luka would be the most outstanding player, but not the most valuable player when you look at the season as a whole. Do you agree with that?
I think the problem in that argument, Joe, for me, is just that Luka didn't start soon enough, right? Like, the Mavericks have come on since the All-Star break. I wonder, what is it, 18-7 or 19-7, something crazy like that. If this was the Mavericks team that we saw from the start of the season, I actually think that this MVP conversation would be closer. And there's a real argument that Luka Doncic would be second in the voting. Our Tim Bonnington straw poll had him third in the voting when that came out earlier this week. But for me, Luka has been outstanding in this run. Kyrie Irving also incredibly efficient over this run. I think flirting with that 40-50-90 mark. But if they had started at the beginning of the season, I think we're actually having a much, much tighter conversation.
It's also very refreshing watching the Dallas Mavericks right now, and you can count on them to make plays defensively. Right?
That Shout out to Gafford.
Beforehand. Unlike another team in the Western Conference that I won't get into right now that lack a lot of defense.
Okay, so if the Joker was to win his third MVP, it would be the third MVP in four seasons. The last guy to do that was LeBron James. All right, let's go to another game that went down last night. The Bucks taking on the Magic without Giannis. Bobby Portis stepped up with 30 points, 9 rebounds, and career-high 5 steals to help Milwaukee to a 117-99 win over Orlando. This is just one night, of course, after Antetokounmpo left with a win over the Boston Celtics because of a strained calf. Now, The Bucks released a statement on social media regarding the status of Giannis following his non-contact injury versus the Celtics on Tuesday, saying he will sit out the rest of the regular season while receiving treatment and evaluation every day. So, Joe, I'm going to start with you on this one. Do you think that the Bucks should consider holding Giannis out of the first round of the playoffs?
I mean, if there's any risk of further damaging that injury like we saw with Kevin Durant back in 2019, then, yeah, you hold him out of the first round of the playoffs. No one behind the scenes in Milwaukee is going to want to have to admit this, but they're not really a championship contender this year. The only way you can consider him a championship contender is because the rest of the Eastern Conference is loaded with problems outside of Boston, and even Boston has some problems closing out big games in big spots. Three key things that need to be on your resume if you're going to make a deep run in the postseason. You got to be able to win on the road, you got to be able to play defense, and you got to be consistent. This team is 18th in the NBA in defensive efficiency. They're sub 500 with a record on the road, and they've been wildly inconsistent throughout the course of the year. So if you think you truly have a chance to win this thing, but Giannis' health is important and you could damage his...
Get out! I got to stop you! No! Oh, my God! Have you looked at the standings? Have you looked at the standings potentially? Right now, if they hold that two, they could run into either Miami or the Philadelphia 76ers. They can't afford to hold him out of the first round potentially. Now, granted, a couple things could shake out. I think they would run into either one of those teams, but they can't afford to sit him out of the first round right now, you guys. Like, we know what Miami did last year. Yes, that was an injured Giannis Antetokounmpo. You take the whole thing into consideration. Miami got hot at the right time. Okay, yeah, history is well documented. The Sixers with Joel Embiid, who granted may not be back to 2 feet, but he's playing with energy. And I think as much as we talk about these players and their development on the court, I think you got to look at the arc of Joel Embiid a little bit this year. He's gotten really close. He's won his MVP. He's gotten married. He's a father now. Like, I think as a man, he's in a different place and probably is going to present differently in this postseason run. So when you're looking at what the Bucks have to deal with, I don't think they can afford to sit Giannis Antetokounmpo. Their problem has been giving up points in the paint all season long. On that 4-game losing streak, y'all, they gave up 230 points in the paint to those four teams. This issue is not going to get better with Giannis off the floor, and it doesn't get easier in the postseason. If they run into either of those two teams, they can ill afford to rest him in the first round, unless, frankly, they're going to call it and try again next year.
So, Monica, what I'm worried about when it comes to Giannis and this calf injury, we also talk about the left hamstring that hampered him and bothered him this year. We also talk about the Achilles soreness on his left Achilles that he had also this year. And when I mean this year, I'm talking about 2024, since March, I think, 2nd. That is not sitting right with me, because now it's all about how does this young man feel. And if you're in the front office, if you're the head coach, Doc Rivers, you can't put Giannis back there on that basketball court if it's going to hamper his future. Because the last thing you do want to have is a situation that we had with Kevin Durant, right? When Kevin Durant goes out there, and then we also watched the Aaron Rodgers on a Monday Night Football game when a lot of people had the high hopes for the Jets, go out and blow his Achilles. That's the last thing you want for this organization when it comes to the Bucks moving forward. We already know, and I'm pretty sure behind closed doors, they won't say it, but we admit it for them. They're not going to win the NBA championship this year. It's just not set in stone for them. It's not their year. So if I'm going to protect my player versus going out there in the potential of him hurting himself with a greater injury, I'm going to do that.
What's amazing about all of this is that last year, Dame Lillard left a situation where he was having to carry a team in situations like this, only to find himself potentially in the playoffs this year, once again carrying a team through the postseason. I wonder how he responds if they decide they're going to be extra cautious with Giannis, and then he starts thinking about his future as to, this isn't really what I signed up for, Monica.
Look, I know it's first take, y'all, and we got to fill all the energy that Stephen A. usually brings, but we all agree, right? If they sit him, they are conceding that this is about the long-term future as opposed to this particular season. And now, the conversation becomes, and Harry, you notice, are you hurt or are you injured? If it's hurt and he can play through it, then fine. They got a shot at whatever happens this year. If he's injured and misses this postseason, then cool, begin your rehabilitation process. I also think, Joe, to that note about Damian Lillard, one of the things this year that has been discussed a little bit with this team is the reality that you just don't get to add star, add water, and it mean winning automatically, particularly in a year when this team has had head coaching turnover. But I do wonder, to your point, if Dame would somewhat relish the opportunity to be sort of the lead again, as the Bucks will put up whatever best fight they can going into a postseason if they don't have Giannis.
Ooh, now it gets interesting. Dame puts the team on his back, wins a couple playoff series. Giannis doesn't like that shine. He requests a trade out.
Oh, Lord Joe.
Oh,
Lord.
God. My goodness. Don't do that.
But listen,
isn't
this what Giannis wanted, though? He said, hey, I want Dame to take the lead. Yeah. He came out and said that. Yeah. But can we also give Bobby Portis some credit now?
Yeah, for sure.
Bobby Portis has been playing
that's a good call.
Butt off for the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's a good call.
We don't want to leave that conversation there. You good? Good at that?
Yes, because Joe does set the NBA world.
He over here talking about Giannis is going to request a trade, just causing straight chaos. All right.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The countdown to week one of the NFL season is on. 2 years after playing in London, the Packers will play a second game outside of the U.S. The NFL announced yesterday that Green Bay will be the Eagles' opponent for the first ever game in South America. It's taking place in Brazil, September 6th, one night after the traditional season opener. Now, about the matchup itself, it features two of the NFC's top quarterbacks in Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts. Last season, Hurts had the edge in wins, but Love threw for more touchdowns, yards, and had fewer picks and went deeper in the postseason. We have Kimberly Martin.
Hello, hello.
Joining us, matching the vibe of everybody on set.
The nails, yes.
Yes, of course. Kmart, I'm going to start with you. Would you rather have Love or Hurts this season?
This was tough for me because y'all know I love Jalen Hurts, but I actually would rather have Jordan Love. And it's not because I'm down on Jalen Hurts. I just think based on what's you start with me already with the thing?
No, I just said you love Jalen Hurts, but you're choosing Jordan Love.
Yes. Because this isn't
about... Don't love him too doggone much.
It's not because I'm down on Jalen, but I think we already know what the Packers are. They are a young, ascending team. They are a team with a very young roster and a quarterback who came into last season having to fill the shoes of a future Hall of Famer and having to answer the question of whether he can be the guy. Forget about being Aaron Rodgers. Can you just be the guy right now? And Jordan Love, as Christine, you pointed out, he had more touchdowns than Jalen Hurts. He had more yards than Jalen Hurts. Anywhere further in the playoffs, right?
Ooh.
So this season, when I look at the teams, I have a lot of questions about the Eagles.
That was some good stuff there, Kmart.
Goodbye. Goodbye, I'm coming to you. You sing. Because that chair.
Turn the chair.
Okay.
That was some good stuff now. Jordan Love had a phenomenal season. Led his team to the playoffs, went into Dallas, boat raced the Dallas Cowboys. But we aren't too far removed from a guy named Jalen Hurts being a massive MVP candidate of the National Football League. And when I look at what they have coming back, two number one wide receivers, because you have to factor that into the equation, right, on who you're choosing, who's around them, a very solid offensive line. They just signed Saquon Barkley at the running back position. I believe Jalen Hurts, in the way that he approaches the game, he's not satisfied with the way he played last season. So I think he's going to step up even more this season in 2024 and be very dynamic, so much so in the manner that we've seen him in 2022. I really do believe that.
I wonder if 2 years ago was the peak. And if that was the peak, maybe we can work our way back up. Not saying we can't get back up there, but we're talking about buying a candidate going into this season. Jordan Love's got a whole lot of ceiling.
It seems very simple, Joe.
Whole lot of ceiling. Yeah. When Harry Douglas lays out, it's very easy.
But I tell you, if a peak is, you can damn near win the MVP and go to a Super Bowl. That's a hell of a peak.
The thing about that, when I look back at that season, there's two things that come to mind with the Eagles. Number one, it was one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. When they finally ran into true opposition, second half of that Kansas City game, it was a disaster for them. Even the playoffs were set up nicely. They got the Giants in the opening round, and then they got a banged-up Niner squad at home in the NFC Championship. They came back the next year. There was very little resilience last year. That's alarming. He's supposed to be one of the leaders of the team. He's paid to be one of the leaders of the team. And as everything was spiraling at the end of the season, where was he? Where were all the leaders to try to pick them out of that? They have an opportunity to turn things around as a team, but individually, Jordan Love last year in his first year on the job was top 10 in quarterback rating, went on the road to Dallas and had an incredible playoff game. Like, we crush Prescott for not winning in the playoffs. We crush all these different quarterbacks because they don't get it done in the postseason. His first shot at that, he rolled in the Big D and he smoked the Cowboys. They played pretty well against the Niners the following week.
And you know what's interesting? Because Harry did talk about all the things that the Eagles are bringing back, but he didn't mention all the things that they lost. Like, which is really funny, considering that their center retired,
this is
right?
First take. I'm not going to kill myself.
Also, the fact that they will have two new coordinators for the second straight year, right? Okay. So I think, again, when you talk about the questions of who are the Eagles, why I'm high on Jalen Hurts is because I don't think that peak, that Super Bowl year, is an aberration. I think he can get back there. But when you head into this season with so many questions to answer, it's not just the quarterback. It's the entire team. And literally, 2 months of them free-falling, and no one had answers. And whereas you saw the Packers completely go like this.
So let me ask you a question. When it comes to the entire team, and I'm just going to focus on the offensive side of the ball, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to the Green Bay Packers and also the Philadelphia Eagles, when you look at offensive line, who are you taking offensive line wise? Joe, you go first.
Edge to Philadelphia.
Okay, Eagles. Kmart, you go second. Eagles, I know the answer. When you look at wide receiving core, Joe, who are you taking?
These questions feel a bit
Joe, just answer the question, Joe. Yeah, the jury just wants to hear the question.
The answer. Eagle wide receiving core. Proven. Yes, what you're leaving out of where this is going is the fact that Green Bay is one of the youngest, was the youngest offense in the NFL last year.
Yes.
There's room for growth there.
Yes, and they will be, in my opinion, the best wide receiver group, I think, in another year or two.
Okay.
I am high on their wide receiver group.
But as of right now, you have to answer Harry Douglas' question,
it's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Kmart, wide receivers, who are you taking?
You know, I love me some Devontae Smith and obviously A.J. Brown, so I will take those two wide receivers.
Man, we're going good. We're moving here. let's go to tight end position.
This is really looking good.
So for the tight end position, Joe, where are you going?
Right now, it's a slight edge to Philadelphia as well, but we're all doing this based on...
We don't need a soliloquy, Joe. Just answer the question. Tight end position, what's the team you're going with?
Your Honor,
Kmart,
so the defendant, he's belligerent now, and I don't like that.
Remember, your counterpoint to this is the question is, who are you buying this
that's
year,
all,
not
like,
who are you buying in the past?
Also, what quarterback are you, like, do you want? Do you want Hurts or Love?
Going
that was the original
coming
question.
Off
that
of was last well year. That's cute. It was cute how you tried, but no.
You still, but how do you feel about the Packers versus the Green Bay? What do you feel, or Packers, Eagles? How do you feel about that?
No, I still... When I look at the Packers, I think this is a team in the NFC that is a Super Bowl contender. Like, I actually think my questions for Jordan about Jordan Love were answered last year. So I feel really high about it.
See, that's the funny thing, because as a team, I'm going to side with the Packers because of the potential of what that defense can be.
Sir, goodbye. Absolutely.
No, it's not confusing, because Joe's on the opposite side, too.
Yeah, I'm about to do the same thing.
You see what I'm saying?
So team-wise,
I'm high on the Packers. When you have all those first-round draft picks on defense, and we know that Green Bay Packer defense the last 2 years didn't live up to their capabilities. Mm-hmm. Now you have a defensive coordinator in Jeff Hafley. They could be better in that capacity, so which would make their team even more better than what they were in 2023.
So in summation, you are saying you are higher on Jalen Hurts because you believe – he wasn't satisfied with last year, so he's just going to give it a better effort this year?
That's essentially what your argument is to this question.
Exactly what I'm saying is that I'm higher on Jalen Hurts because their offense, in my opinion, is better than the Green Bay Packers offense.
The same offense that we saw for 2 months scuttle around.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I think
best that's... offensive line, best wide receiver group, better tight end group, running back, you can make your pick there. You can take Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley.
I give it to Saquon.
I think what you want to do with Philadelphia is look to buy low. You got to ask yourself, what were the problems with that team last year? Myriad, several problems. Yeah. One of the keys to any player you talk to talks about what happened last year, coordinator situation. Both coordinators were in over their heads. So what did they do? They rectified. They got rid of both of them. They bring in Vic Fangio. They bring in Kellen Moore on the offensive side. Now, those might not be elite coordinators, but those are going to be upgrades. Those are going to be solutions to some of the problems they have. Right now, walk into this game in week one that's in Brazil. Philadelphia's a 1.5-point favorite, very small favorite. You walk around these hallways, everybody loves Green Bay. Greenberg won't stop talking about Green Bay.
Of course.
When Greenberg gives you the seal of approval, you want to start looking in the other direction. You saw what he did to the Jets.
Oh.
Philadelphia is an ultimate buy low for me. Right now, they put that point spread out there. They say Philadelphia -1.5. Everyone thinks of Philly. First thing they think, second half collapse. Everyone looks at Green Bay and they say, this is a team that's ascending. Apply that psychology. When we get closer to the start of the season, Philly's going to be out to prove something. Green Bay no longer the hunter. They're the hunted this season. They're not going to surprise anybody. I like Philadelphia to jump on him in that game in Brazil.
And we're also getting a healthier Jalen Hurts, right, than the version that we've seen in 2023. That zone read may be a little bit more in the factor now with a running back like Saquon Barkley. So I'm really looking forward to the Eagles and how they bounce back in 2024. Okay, Mark.
Wait, you said you're higher on Green Bay or the Eagles?
I'm higher on Green Bay.
Okay.
Going into the season.
Okay. Because you said Philly.
He and I went a little, we made it very confusing.
Okay,
yes,
yeah,
it's very confusing.
Joe just showed up.
But we understand.
That's what I do. Probably each other are going, though.
But then
talk to my wife, she'll tell you.
Disagreeing. Yeah. And you're higher on Green Bay overall on the season.
Yes.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, it's time for a quick take. Take a look at this right here.
Oh.
That's Brandon Miller, absolute poster. Harry, how would you rate the dunk?
I would give it a 10. Number one, you cross the guy up, he's slipping and sliding everywhere, and you don't even have a slip and slide on the court. You have sneakers that should have traction, but then being able to posterize a defender. But if someone set me up with this right here, trolling me, because this happened against my Atlanta Hawks. And they said, Harry, we want you to give a quick take on the Hawks player getting crossed up and also the Hawks player getting dunked. That had to be Russ Fisher's idea. Had to be.
Wow.
This is what I like to call an Ancestry.com dunk, because Fernando's family is going to feel that one all the way back. Look at that. You can find that from every possible angle. As a Hawk fan, you can feel that in your bones, Harry Douglas.
Ah! Is Monica there?
Dying. Was that the dying Hawk noise? What just happened? This is great. Good stuff by Brandon Miller. He's had a solid rookie season despite Charlotte being in rebuild mode, we'll call it. I like this dunk a ton. It's in the half court set. You got the cross, and then Bruno Fernando is not a small dude. So yeah, bring the energy, Brandon Miller, trying to put an exclamation point on the end to a forgettable season for the Hornets.
Harry, can you give us that one more time, please? Thank you. All right, let's go over to the WNBA, where it is presumed that the Indiana Fever will be using their number one overall pick on Caitlin Clark. Cue the schedule release, where it was revealed that 36 of the Fever's 40 games will be nationally broadcasted. Monica, is this surprising? Of course, because Caitlin Clark is who she is.
I was surprised, but I'm here for it. I was like, okay, let's go. We've seen the WNBA not be the best at bridging the connection between its college stars and when they come into their rookie year. And so not just Caitlin in this instance, but this entire rookie class is going to have the opportunity to perform on big stages with the eyeballs on them. Now, that is not to forget to give the respect to the women that already make up this league, because the curve is going to be real. But like Don Staley said after South Carolina won their title and completed their undefeated season, Caitlin Clark has been good for the game. She shouldered a lot. She's helping to raise all ships as a rising tide does. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah, I love everything about this, especially when you go out there and you ball out and become a national or international treasure, you're going to be on TV. I'm really looking forward to seeing Caitlin Clark also being paired up with Leah Boston for the Indiana Fever and see what they're able to do in their conference.
Caitlin Clark has already done her part. This all comes down to the business people running the WNBA and taking full advantage of the gift they've been handed in such a transcendent talent. This is what the PGA Tour was dealing with Tiger Woods close to 30 years ago. This is what Ultimate Fighting was dealing with Conor McGregor a little over a decade ago. You have a star that comes along that doesn't just produce on the court, they produce in the box office in the biggest, most imaginative possible way. They've got to be able to market her in a way that is different than anything they've done before, because this type of golden goose does not come along very often.
I do want to ask you, Monica, because you mentioned the fact that the W hasn't been able to do a good job when it comes to their rookie players coming in and playing at the next level. How do you expect Caitlin Clark to impact the WNBA? I mean, we heard DT last weekend talking about how these players are going to have a wake-up call. How do you feel like Caitlin Clark is going to be able to adjust?
In my mind, Christine, I've got her slated for a rookie team. I think she's going to have the opportunity to have that impact. Listen, in terms of space, she's going to be playing with terrific players, right? Aaliyah Boston, like Harry mentioned. She's got Melissa Smith on that team. There's a bunch of different players that will help create space for her to operate offensively. The curve probably will be in the way that defenses can guard her one-on-one just at the next level. And then, of course, she's going to have to pick it up on the defensive end. But I don't think that she's shying away from any of this. The Caitlin Clark that I had a chance to sit and chat with a season ago at the Final Four is a competitor, and that is part of competing, right? Addressing the areas that you need to address in order to get better and to grow. So I think that she will be all rookie team. I'm not 100% sure on rookie of the year, just because I don't know. Indiana won 13 games last year, y'all. I'm not sure that it's going to turn over in the win column just yet, but I think Caitlin Clark is setting up for a terrific WNBA career. And just one time, in my opinion, like, I don't think the DT comments were that big of a deal. Again, while the WNBA is inclusive and forth and in front of big issues and thinking, at the root of it, it is still competitive and it is beautiful competition. And so let's go. Like, let's get it. Roll the balls out. Let's play.
For sure. It makes sense.
One thing they should be thinking about with her, they got to be marketing that pregame routine. If anyone's ever been to a Warriors game, people show up 90 minutes early to watch Steph Curry go through his routine. Everything from the half-court shots at Roracle when it was the tunnel shot. People are into that sort of thing. They will show up when you have that sort of box office appeal. They should be marketing her pregame routine as well.
Yeah, I will say this, Joe. Yes, capitalize on the marketing and the opportunity for women's sports to grow and the WNBA to grow. But I do think that, like, the marketing is not to take away from what Christy Wallace and company are going to be trying to do in terms of winning, right? And so I'm curious to see how that line will be threaded. Because yes, I love the term you use in terms of golden goose, but also like we're trying to win, we're trying to get better. These marketing things can't be a detraction. And I'm of the mindset that let's figure it out together and figure out what balance we can strike. But ultimately, these teams, these players, these coaches are trying to win and move their programs forward in the win column and not just in the marketing piece.
Okay, let's go over to the Masters. Tiger's tee time has been pushed back to 3:54 Eastern due to weather at Augusta. Joe, are you concerned about Tiger missing the cut?
Big time. Big time. 23 consecutive cuts made at the Masters. That is tied for most all time with Gary Player and Fred Couples. This would be the year he could break that mark. I don't like it. I've already bet the fact that I think he's going to miss the cut. And I know that offends a lot of people who want to root for the big cat. And if I'm proven wrong, everybody else can go out and enjoy him playing on the weekend. Fact of the matter remains, since 2022, he's appeared in six events, three withdrawals, one missed cut, and then the other two, he didn't crack the top 40. The ceiling is not there. Since 2020, when the Masters changed their rules for the cut, it was top 50 plus ties, as well as anyone within 10 strokes of the lead. They eliminated that last part. It's harder to get through. And on top of that, you've got a guy whose body struggles in weather like this. So now the tee time is pushed back. How many holes is he going to get in today? Probably not the full 18. You go out Friday, you need to play 27, you need to play 30. That is problematic for an aging Tiger Woods here. I don't like him to make the cut. If I'm wrong, I think most of America will be at him.
Yeah, that's the most concerning when it comes to Tiger Woods, Joe. It's the physical, right? And being able to perform at a high level, be able to walk the golf course and not have issues like we've seen in the past. Also, it's not like he's sat up there and he's played golf for an enormous amount of time recently. He has not been able to do that, but I rock this green today. Because of the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, for the one and only Tiger Woods. He's great.
Oh, my goodness.
Tiger
okay.
Woods.
8-1 to birdie the opening hole. 8-1. Wow. That's something that interests Harry Douglas?
No, not really.
Harry, with the sound effects today, has been really great. Okay, we now know the Clippers will face the Mavs in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Monty, I'm going to start with you on this one. Who do you give the edge to in this matchup?
Girl, I was looking at the bracket. One more time, who are we talking about, Clippers and the Mavs?
Okay. Yeah, Clippers and the Mavs, yeah.
Golly. See, this is that conversation where health becomes everything, y'all. The Mavs are playing great basketball. And again, the refrain of coaches as we're finishing down the stretch of this season is rhythm. Rhythm, rhythm, rhythm. But I can remember sitting courtside for multiple Clippers games, and when they are healthy, I thought that the force that they could play with on both sides of the ball was like top three in the league when you talk about the Nuggets and the way that the Boston Celtics have played. This is a really, really tough one. I'm just going to be a victim of recency bias here, and I'm going to give the edge to the Mavs in terms of the rhythm that they have right now. Ooh, that's tough. Mm.
Well, it's not tough for me, Monica. I'm going with the Dallas Mavericks. You look at their last 19 games, they're 15-4. You look at two pure scorers that can get a bucket whenever they want to, but we know they're going to be on the basketball court. We can't live in the if Kawhi's healthy,
you're right, Paul George.
Because we know if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. Joe, you like Hennessy. You like Hennessy, Joe?
I dabble.
Okay, I'm a tequila man. So I'm going with the Dallas Mavericks. Plus, I love, after making a trade for Gafford and also P.J. Washington, how this team collectively, not just those two guys, but collectively have bought into the defensive end. It's made a huge difference in their team and the reason why they're having that success right now.
Clippers 8-1 to win the championship right now. Mavericks 25-1 to win the championship. Not exactly close, but in terms of what they bring to the table right now, see where you guys are coming from. The Mavericks are the red-hot team. They look to be extremely consistent this time of year. They win a game against Miami last night that most people didn't think they'd win because they locked up that playoff seed, and Miami was still jockeying into position. Thing is, though, the Clippers are known to bring you in. They're known to give you the old banana in the tailpipe. You'll end up in this situation liking them. They'll win a series. And then when everyone buys in, that's when they end up falling apart. I would lean to the Clippers here. I think the defense and I think the home court advantage of the team.
Well, I was bought in early last year when they was playing the Phoenix Suns. And Kawhi Leonard had that amazing game one, I believe game two as well. And then next thing you know, we didn't hear any more from him.
Yeah, that was it.
I was bought in.
The problem has always been consistency with them. I think they can come together. This is the first year with James Harden. Feels like at least one series they'll shock everybody. We'll all come on TV and talk about how they're the scariest team in the West. And then inevitably they let everyone down in the semis.
Well, God, that, I, right? Harry's absolutely right in terms of the health as a part of this conversation. But all right, let's just go to the people patrolling the sidelines for a second, y'all. And Tyronn Lue has been terrific with this group this year. He's one of the most beloved coaches in the league. And then you got Jason Kidd on the other end, right? I think this is a little tougher than we think it is, Harry, because if the Clippers are healthy, to me, they've got the caliber of defenders who can make it as difficult as possible on Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. Now, granted, you probably are not going to stop both of those guys. You hope to contain it. And then you look at their ability to match up with a Gafford or a PJ Washington. Like, Kawhi Leonard is still an outstanding defender, right? You got the Zubats and the Tice in the paint in terms of matching up with Gafford. This one really, y'all, it could be a toss-up. If the conversation was both teams are healthy, I would probably lean Clippers. But right now, because I do believe in momentum and rhythm, I'm going to lean toward the Mavericks in this one.
See, what makes me nervous about the Clippers, too, when they play those athletic point guards, when you have a guy like Kyrie, a De'Aaron Fox, other players on other teams, say Gildas Alexander, the Clippers have struggled this year. They struggled big time trying to contain people of that stature. So I think Kyrie is going to have a field day if he plays the Clippers.
The Maverick defense has been exceptional during this run here at the end of the season. That's going to be the key to all of it. That has to carry over.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Defense is the difference. Right now in the modern NBA, your offense is your floor. It comes down to what you can do defensively. If you go back over the last 25 years, the 50 teams that have made it to the NBA Finals, 40 of those teams have ranked in the top 10 in defensive efficiency. Right now, neither of these teams is in the top 10, but the Mavericks are ascending. If they can carry that over into this series, it's their series to win.
When it comes to Dallas, though, I also love the joy that they're playing with. You know, Kyrie Irving made a wonderful defensive stance last night, and he was on the floor. Dallas went down, scored a basket. The first person to him, Luka. Man, they're happy playing with each other. They're enjoying the game of basketball right now. I can't say or state that case for them last season, but it's definitely showing up right now.
We're going to see, y'all. This should be a fun series for sure. At a bare minimum, it should be a fun one.
Monica feels like she could go back and forth on this 10 times before really we start could. The actual series.
And it's tough, though, really because could. If they're healthy, the Clippers, this is a team that we can possibly see contending for an NBA championship.
Yeah. You forget about Kawhi Leonard when he turns it on this time of year. Like, that's the thing. He can go missing in action for 2 months, and you forget about him, and then the playoffs come around, and you go, damn, why am I betting against Kawhi? Why am I betting against PG-13? I've seen this before.
And, Joe, to your point about teams with the ability to defend, right, those two, right, we think of them offensively, I think, just because of the nature of the NBA this year. But those two, if they are deciding to lock it up defensively, you've got two terrific defenders. Like, the idea of Kawhi Leonard or Paul George having to guard Luka Doncic, like, give me my popcorn. I'm interested in watching this unfold. Like, Terrence Mann is a scrappy defender, versatile for those guys. Maybe he draws the assignment of Kyrie Irving. Like, who knows? This is going to be a terrific series. It's playoff time, baby. Let's get it.
Oh, that's right.
Best part about it, both teams are locked into their playoff seating right now. They can rest the rest of the way. They don't have to limp into that opening round. People can get healthy. People can get recharged. This time of year, talking about the Lakers, talking about the Warriors, spilling everything they have just to qualify for the play-in. The teams that have earned the right to rest this time of year, remember, this is the load management league. Everyone wants to rest. Everyone wants optimum efficiency so they can perform at a high level. If you're about to embark on this run, both these teams getting an opportunity to rest heading into the opening round, that makes for great theater.
Let me ask y'all two this. If it comes to one possession, who do y'all have more faith in to win the basketball game? If it's a one-possession ball game, you count on Luka and Kyrie or PG and Kawhi?
Clippers. I want Westbrook putting up that shot.
Joe, I mean, legit, though. I mean, another terrific defender, right?
He off the bench, he's been huge.
Harry, that's tricky.
Kyrie going left?
I was about to say, how deep in the weeds are we going to get on this? Because we've got examples of both Kawhi Leonard and Luka Doncic hitting big-time shots in the postseason to win big ball games. I think I'm going to give a slight edge to the Clippers for real, though.
Ooh. All right, guys, I got to jump in here because we have very tough news to share with everyone. Breaking news here on First Take. O.J. Simpson, the former football great, who was accused and ultimately acquitted of the brutal 1994 slayings of his ex-wife and her friend, has died, according to his family. He was 76 years old. On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, has succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children, his grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace, a statement from his family said. Harry, Joe, hearing that news, Harry, first to you, what are your initial thoughts?
Well, it's always sad, you know, being a part of the fraternity, the National Football League, and someone who meant so much to the game. Whenever someone loses their life, it's already tragic, but when you consider it one of your frat brothers, right, it's always a sad time. OJ definitely, you know, made a stamp on the National Football League or playing at a high level, so it's sad.
Complicated. Right? That's the first word that comes to mind. Yeah. You're complicated. Death in any form is going to be sad. That's the first thing you're going to think of. But it's a complicated individual with a very complicated and troubling legacy that's left behind.
Yeah, for sure. We'll definitely keep you guys posted with everything on that. I believe we have Kimberly Martin coming in really fast to get her thoughts on this as well. But yeah, very tough story, obviously. HD, when you think about what he did on the football field, what do you remember?
Well, dynamic. I mean, I was young at the time now, so it's not like I was, you know, a spring chicken, you know, when O.J. was playing the game of football. But from what I remember, he was beloved by so many by what he could do on the football field.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Kimberly Martin is now joining us.
I think Joe said the right word, complicated, because now there are lovers of this game who know O.J. strictly from the Bronco chase on, right? Mm-hmm. You know, watching the footage, it's grainy. A lot of people that love football don't know O.J. the player. I don't have vivid memories of O.J. the player. But when you think about, I think it was 1973, led the league, 2,000 rushing yards, like one of the most perfect seasons for a running back. From USC to the Bills, Hall of Famer. So strictly speaking from a football perspective, one of the greats of the game, Hall of Famer. But again, all of that tangled into everything that happened off the field. I mean, OJ was the quintessential what I think, strictly football, what athletes today want to be as far as like the man on the field and then also the endorsements. Like I actually remember OJ from the Hertz commercials and I don't know if he did Isotoner, but those commercials, that's what I remember. And I think he kind of set the standard in that sense, but you just, it's very difficult to separate.
Well, let's peel the curtain back a little bit.
And you have people that on this side, they love OJ. You have people on this side that hate OJ. Mm-hmm. And that's what came to with the territory when it came to O.J. Simpson.
We find this out in real time, right? Mm-hmm. So no one really knows how to react. We're sitting here. We're doing a TV show. I think we're trying to tread lightly, mm-hmm. considering right, everything.
Exactly.
But, I mean, let's acknowledge the fact that there are families out there whose yes. lives and trajectories
completely
were
changed,
dramatically altered by the actions this individual was accused of
right.
and everything that happened in the fallout of that. And mm-hmm. you want to be able to, on one hand, show respect, show grace in this conversation. But on the other hand, you do think he's not exactly leaving behind a legacy that's one that's going to be celebrated.
Tarnished
it's not
is,
one
is,
that
yeah.
people are going to stand up and say, you know, O.J. Simpson, it's difficult because as a former player, you're sitting there and you want to yeah. be able to assess his impact on the game, knowing all the while his impact as a human being way outside of
right.
what we saw on a football field.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, for sure. Very tough indeed. And we've talked about it, too, when it comes to players, as you just mentioned, Joe, what they do on the football field versus what they do off of it
yeah.
and trying to separate those two things so it can be tough. Any final thoughts, guys?
I hope the members of the families affected by O.J. Simpson have some peace with this.
Yeah, for sure.